This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to Long Shots, the Waste Management Edition. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds coming to you. And everything we do here on this podcast, absolutely free. So if you have not already, please go ahead, subscribe, rate, review. We do appreciate every single bit of all of that. Before we get started, Kelly, we'll give a little congratulations here to one Wes Reynolds. Got home Joaquin Neiman. And hey, you know what? We're going to go ahead and give you Wyndham Clark. The ticket cash. We don't give a damn if it only went 54 holes. Who cares? We have any cashes and cashes. So we're going to go ahead and give that one to you as well, Wes. So I do appreciate the way that you handled it on the Twitter machine comparatively to a lot of people out there where you were just kind of like, hey, look, January sucked. Good to get a couple in the account there, because there are a lot of people on Wyndham Clark who you'd have thought that they had the perfect handicap for it, and they were doing victory laps all over the place, and I'm kind of like going, guys, I'm glad you won too. The guy made 160 foot of putts and shot a 60, and then the game got, and then the tournament got shortened by a round. Like, just be fortunate that you had the ticket in the account. What are we doing here?
I wasn't doing a victory lap. I was doing a rain dance, though, to make sure. And look, I'm glad that everybody got through that, because they declared, stay in place there in the Monterey area, the county. And look, people didn't have power. Yeah. And grocery stores and restaurants are closed. And, I'm reading tour players and their wives like, hey, man, we might have to start eating like some of our baby pouches or something to get by, because we can't go to a restaurant or anything. But, yeah, I was fortunate on Wyndham Clark. And look, hey, sometimes we get unlucky. And ones that we should have won, we don't win. So that was one I didn't think I should have won, but got there. Neiman, I would have been more disappointed, actually, because I felt like he should have won.
Yes,
shoots
me
a 59 on Friday, and then has a 4-shot lead, takes that 2-stroke penalty overnight, where he just misplayed it and didn't know the rule and didn't take the 2-club lengths. And you would think a pro player of that level and a caddy of that level would know that, but he had to hang on, and he lost the lead, had to fight back, had to go 4 playoff holes with Sergio Garcia. But fortunately got it done down in Mayakoba, so at least the crew's on the board.
Damn, Wes, I forgot you had Neiman. I knew you had Wyndham Clark. I forgot you had Neiman over in Liv. There he is. Wes Reynolds back in full action for 2024.
One for one on Liv, but that reminds me of the first season of Liv where he hit the first one with Charles Schwartzel and then didn't hit one the rest of the year.
Wes, were you on him with me at the Century a couple years ago when they had that same damn playoff?
Which one? With
Neiman? On Neiman.
I had him at the
remember him and Genesis. Sergio went to the playoff. Oh, okay, that's what it was. Yeah. I had him there too. They went to that playoff though, and I was like, I kept thinking about that. I was like, oh great, I love when golf bad beats just get shoved in your face, where it's like, hey, Sergio and Neiman in a playoff.
Yeah, it was getting dark there too, and they said, okay, we're gonna play one more hole, and that was all that they had because they were not gonna be able to play anymore. And it's like, oh man, are we gonna have to wait till Monday for this? Because it was like, I was already figuring, okay, I gotta wait on Wyndham Clark because they're gonna play on Monday,
right?
And he's probably not gonna win and follow up a round of 60. So I was like, I got to wait for Monday for both of these results. So I was glad they got settled on Sunday at least.
Matt, I don't know about you, but I watched more Live on Sunday than I have in 2 years or whatever, however long it's been around.
I watched about the whole broadcast.
Yeah, it was. I said I made a little snarky tweet. I said the weather in Monterey was the best thing to ever happen to Live. And then the ratings came out, and the pickleball grand slam outrated Liv. And so it's like, well, it was better than last year, the ratings, but it's still not good because people just don't care about it when it all comes down to it. So off we go, move to Scottsdale, not an elevated event this year. And with that, had a couple of high profile withdrawals. We have had Victor Hovland withdraw. We have had Xander Schauffele withdraw. There was the rumor, oh boy, this is it. Victor's going to Live. No, people came out and said Victor was just not happy the way he's playing golf right now and would prefer to get a week of training in as opposed to play in a tournament that is a not elevated event. So Victor just wanted to practice this week as opposed to go out there not really loving the way that his game is going for him right now. So instead, we still have a pretty good field here, highlighted by Scottie Scheffler, who is your overwhelming favorite in this thing at plus 450. Justin Thomas at 10-1. Max Homa, 16. Jordan Spieth, 18. Sam Burns at 20. Wyndham Clark, coming off the 54-hole win, is 28. Benny On is 28. Sung J M at 30. JT Poston at 30. Scythe Thigala at 35, Minwoo Lee at 35, Matt Fitzpatrick also there at 35, as is Cam Young. Everybody else 40-1 or longer. Wes, we know, because we are here and we're getting a ton of rain. It's actually raining in Scottsdale, has been raining in Scottsdale a couple of days as well. And so a course that is typically hard and dry and all the different things like that could possibly be a little bit softer as we go at it. But what are we looking at down there at TPC Scottsdale?
Yeah, it's usually pretty darn firm and fast, as you mentioned. Par 71, 72, 61, average length course, 11 par fours, 4 par threes, 3 par fives. It is above sea level, second highest on the PGA Tour. I think 1530 is the elevation. But so it'll fly a little further, but only about 2%. This is not a course where you have to necessarily be that long, but you will take driver just on most of the holes. I think it was one of the highest that we certainly see on the PGA Tour. But I think it's got to be a mix of accuracy and distance here. Desert course, TPC Scottsdale Stadium setting. A little bit similar, I guess, to TPC Sawgrass, if you're looking for kind of the nearest comparison. But they call this thing the People's Open because the raucous crowds that they obviously get there. So not the elevated event, but you mentioned pretty good field. Fairways are Ryan Fescue, pretty average width. Rough is not very thick. It's POA and rye overseed on the green. So it's not like the POA that was the bumpy POA that we see at Torrey Pines or at Pebble Beach. Greens are pretty big, about 7,000 square feet. So you're going to have to probably, especially if it's a little softer, you're going to have to be in the high teens, maybe even close to 20 under par, I think, to win this thing.
Yeah, I one of the few courses that we go over each and every year that I actually have played, and greens are pretty straightforward. Like, it's not like a couple of these other courses we've talked about so far this season. Like, not a lot of trickiness, not a lot of anything like that. Because, again, you know, I mean, it is a tourist course, right? I mean, there are still people that are coming in from miles and miles away to play, and they don't want to be missing four footers because the green is going all kinds of crazy ways. Yeah. So it's pretty straightforward, which is why we've seen some bad putters win here, because it's not tricky all that bad.
Yeah, Kyle Stanley, Hideki Matsuyama, Kevin Stadler, not exactly great putters. So if your team no putt, this would be your week, because these are very smooth greens, just not a lot to them.
I think I made 11 footer, Kelly, when I was there. I think I made like an 11 footer. So, I mean, that ought to tell you something.
Look at you. Kevin Stadler pull. I feel like I haven't seen him in a while. This is, you know what my favorite part about this tournament is? Is that we're back on one damn golf course.
Yes.
That's what my favorite part of this tournament is. But yeah, it's a little bit of a shame. I don't know what they're doing with these signature elevated designated events of like we're rotating, and now this one gets like sandwiched in between two. I know it's Super Bowl week and that's the biggest distraction for people, but man, this tournament is so much fun every year. You'd really hate to see it suffer to a weaker field than what we've seen in the past, because usually we've had some great fields here, some great winners, great tournaments. I mean, what was it, 14 to last 17 years, a scoring margin of one stroke, including seven playoffs? Like, that's crazy, man. That is ridiculous. This tournament's awesome.
Yeah, like, outside of just the environment itself, Wes, like, the reason I hope that they keep this thing elevated more times than not and get us a really good field in there is, like, that back nine has a whole bunch of kind of risk-reward holes, which, like, can make for a very exciting, awesome finish to this thing. I mean, like, there are several different holes where you can play them three different ways, and it's pretty interesting. And I, you know, I love that stuff whenever a guy is two strokes down, he decides like he's going for it, you know, and like sometimes he gets there and sometimes he doesn't, and all of that. And I don't know. I hope that I get why they're rotating them. They got to keep sponsors happy. They got to make sure that everyone's kind of getting some love here. I would like to see this event elevated more times than not.
Yeah, and you mentioned the finish. You got the par 5 15th that has the island green, and then the 16th, of course, the famous where we saw Tiger Woods make the ace all those years ago. That's the Coliseum where everybody's rowdy and intoxicated, that par 3. And then you have that short par 4 where it's, you know, you can drive it, or you can just kind of get it up there where you chip up and try to make an easy birdie. Remember, that's where Sahith Theegala lost this event mm-hmm. a couple years ago. Gets a bad bounce off the rocks. Ball goes in the water. Scheffler ends up beating Cantlay in the playoff. And then the 18th, you've got water down the entire left side on that par 4. And guys will find water off the tee. So this is actually one of my more favorite like finishing hole sequences on the tour.
Me yeah. too. I love it. I think it makes for a super exciting finish. So I hope that the fields don't suffer if we continue to not have it be elevated. But, you know, Kelly, let's start with you here before we get into what, you know, actually made our card this week. But what did you plug in as important? What did you emphasize more than maybe you think everybody else did out there? And what did you go into with a little less emphasis than maybe some people did?
Yeah, real quick, Kevin Stadler update. Seven missed cuts last year. He made the cut twice. So he's still out there plugging along. Yeah, definitely. Definitely de-emphasized putting this week after I think a stretch of emphasizing that a little bit more, which I don't usually like doing. So it's nice to kind of go back to team no putt. I love it, Wes. Like this is, yeah, give me big old greens that guy. I can try to get a good approach player to hit it close to the pin. And that's all it's about. I think this is one of those, hey, this is a good reminder. Actually, you're talking about like double the green size of last week. I think this is where green and regulation stats, if you just look at stuff like that, can get a little bit tricky when you're dealing with greens that are literally twice the size from one tournament the week before. So I think that's where you want to look a little bit more at opportunities gained, looking at some approach players are going to put it really close to the pin. That's what you're looking at this week. Off the tee, emphasized, you know, more here than what we've seen in recent tournaments too, both distance and accuracy. I think this is you know, the rough, not overly penal, right, guys? But, you know, you can find yourself in water off the tee. You can put yourself in really tricky spots. So I think distance and accuracy, both really important off the tee. Probably just trying to think back of tournaments we've played so far. Feels like I've put a little bit more into off the tee stuff this week than basically anything we've done so far on the year. Obviously, strokes gained approach, opportunities gained. Three par fives here with pretty high birdie and eagle rates. Punched those in, looked at par fours, 450 to 500. I think there are six of those. Wes will correct me if I'm wrong. A couple others that are right in that range, though. Birdie or better and bogey avoidance. I think both are going to be important this week. You can't be putting it around all those greens, hitting it in the water, and you got to go out there and make some birdies. It is, like Wes said, we're going to see a winning score here close to 20 under, probably, you know, if weather doesn't get too bad or whatever during the tournament. So that was really what I plugged in and looked at this week.
Wes, what about you? Is there anything that you went a little bit heavier on this week than we've kind of done here on the first kind of first little stretch here of the season?
Yeah, I went more off the tee a little bit than I have been. Of course, I think you can go strokes gained off the tee. You can also go total driving, because I do think accuracy is going to matter here. And there are ways. There are five water holes on this course. There's a lot of like waste areas that aren't bunkers. This is not actually a very heavily bunkered course, but there are waste areas out there where you can get in a little bit of trouble off the tee. I think approach probably is where you want to start here. Five of the last 7 years, the winner has either been first or second in the field when he has won this event. Scotty Scheffler gained, I believe, 9.5 on approach last year. So that's going to get it done most events. So I think you've definitely got to look at approach here. In terms of any of the proximity, I think 150 to 175, 175 to 200 would kind of be in the range where I would be looking at. Birdie or better gained and bogey avoidance is what I did, because these are, even though these are pretty simple greens, they're big greens, so you want to get it closer to the hole as possible. So you can, I guess, three putt here, but it's just avoiding dropping shots here, because there's a lot of twists and turns, especially as you get late in the tournament. We were talking about that that final, you know, four holes. The front nine's pretty basic here, so you're not gonna really see a lot of momentum changes. Par 5, 550 to 600, because that's where they all are. A little bit of scrambling gain, because you got those like short grass lies around the greens, which could be a little bit tricky, even though historically pretty easy to scramble on. And then I did firm and fast greens putting, very, very small, just guys who can maybe do that. But with the rain, they could be a little bit softer this week. And then it did average gained strokes gained per round at TPC Scottsdale. Some guys are going to have, when you do that, the course history, they're going to have more experience than others. But I think it might have been Data Golf that said this is the fourth most predictive. So usually guys that play well here always play well here. Doesn't mean guys on debut can't go well, but you know, the usual suspects were on that. Scheffler, Thomas, Fowler, M, Matsuyama, Thigala, guys that have played well here in recent years. So I plugged that in a little bit as well.
Yeah, that was, I guess that was one I didn't bring up, Matt, but definitely leaned on that a little bit more this week than what I would say on an average tournament or what I typically look at in a week. Definitely looked at tournament history here a little bit more than usual.
Yeah, so I really heavily emphasized off the tee. I really heavily emphasized scoring, and particularly par five scoring. All three of the par fives are three of the four easiest holes on the entire course. So you got to be bogey minimum. I mean, but you got to be birdie minimum on those, and like you got to at least have opportunity at eagle at least once or twice over the course of the tournament to get it done. So I have emphasized that pretty heavily as well on this one. And honestly, I put a little bit more driving distance in this than I thought, because it's been raining down there. And if the guy's going to have a little bit extra length off the tee, if it's a little bit softer and he's able to kind of throw some darts in there, listen, we saw last week, I know Pebble Beach isn't long, but man, when these courses play soft, these dudes can just go and just attack the hell out of these pins. And if you're longer down there, you're going to be able to do that much, much more efficiently than we saw. You know, look, everybody was able to do it over at Pebble because it's not near as long. But if you're able to kind of be out there a little bit further and you're hitting shorter irons in and you're just really just flag hunting at these things, I emphasize that this week as well. So I wasn't expecting to put driving distance, honestly, in there. I was just going to kind of go the more total driving thing in general, but I ended up going driving distance given the conditions that I think that we're going to be playing under with that. So that's kind of how mine just differs from y'all, but pretty much the same stuff outside of that, pretty much. I did just do a little bit of the kind of, like you said, Kelly, bogey avoidance type stuff. I don't want guys like making bogey, you know, different stuff, like scrambling just in case we're, we're seeing some guys knee up and downs and things like that. I just wanted to see. They were all just tiebreakers. You know, there's more tiebreakers than anything else. They're a small fraction of percents of the overall 100% of the model. And it just was more of the, okay, all things considered, this guy's better at these two things. Maybe this is the bet for me. Maybe not.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, but Wes, you brought it up because of the kind of the waste areas and, you know, kind of where some of these balls can roll off the green too. I do think that there's, like, I plugged in a little bit more scrambling, I think, than I would typically at a course that you would just, when you would just see what guys would score here and, you know, the size of greens like this. I wouldn't normally plug in scrambling, I guess, as much as I did at other tournaments like this. But I think it is a little bit under the radar, a little important here, because you'll see every year this tournament, we feel like we see a big guy on Sunday stuck in an ugly spot trying to figure out what the hell he's going to do. And, like you said, I think little things like that, nice little tiebreakers. And I think it's a great point on the distance. I'll probably rerun some things a little bit actually after we do the pod and take a look if that changes anything too drastically with some of my numbers. But, yeah, with that course getting soaked all week like that, I think you're spot on with that. You're going to want, we're used to kind of firmer conditions down there. You get a little bit more run out on the drive. And if you're getting those soft, maybe some softer greens where guys can stick it close. I think that's a good call by you. I'm going to have to add a little bit more into distance.
Guys, of course, we will let you know our full betting card on the other side of the deal here, but you know, as always, we got to go around the world with Wes. We might be going down the street with Wes Rose. He might have some thoughts on Liv. We might not be going around the world. We might be going just down the street.
Around the sphere.
Yeah, with Wes Reynolds here whenever we come back. But stick around after these brief messages. Welcome back. It is Long Shots here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds, and no podcast here would be complete without us going around the world with Wes Reynolds.
Yeah, and we're going to end up local at the end, but we do got to take a brief detour over to Qatar for the Qatar Masters. That is the DP World Tour event. Dylan Fratelli, by the way, wins at 150-1 last week at the Bahrain Championship. He is back in the field in Qatar this week, about half the price. So Rasmus Højgaard's been the favorite in all these events because you got a lot of European players, by the way, playing these PGA Tour events. So Rasmus Højgaard, Xander Lomborg, Yannick Paul were the short three prices on the board, 11-1, 20-1, 22-1, respectively. So Sami Valimaki, who is the defending champion of this event, is actually playing in Phoenix, got in, I think, as an alternate this week. So Doha Golf Club in the capital city over there is going to be the host of this event, 72 for the par, 74-66. Played just a few. I mean, these have felt like darts, though, on the DP World Tour. Just haven't really been able to get a rhythm. Had a guy finish T4, who I played again this week, Freddie Lacroix, at 33-1. He was fourth and then third the week before. So I'm just sticking with form here. Second for overall strokes gained total. Tom McKibben, 25-1, fourth off the tee, second in driving accuracy so far this season. Was ninth on debut when this event was played in October last year. Nicklas Norgaard Møller at 50-1, second for strokes gained off the tee and second on approach last week in Bahrain. He's always up there for off the tee. It's just can the irons fire, and if they can 2 weeks in a row, he can contend. Aaron Cockerell, 60-1, sixth last week in Bahrain, fourth in the Dubai Desert Classic to start the year, fourth on accuracy, third on GIR. Marcus Helikilde at 60-1, a Danish player, 12th in Doha here 2 years ago. Very good putter on Paspalum greens. So think he could go well here. And then Halton Lee, 80-1, who is 14th and 7th at the Dubai Swing to start 2024. 10th in putting, 11th on approach so far this season. So those are the six for the Qatar Masters. And then we go right back home. We go right back to the Las Vegas Country Club.
Fully just around the world.
Yes, all the way around to end up where we were. Live Las Vegas this week at the Las Vegas Country Club, which is about 5 minutes east of the Las Vegas Strip. If you visit it out here, it's right behind the Westgate Sportsbook, basically. There, that little community there. So I was surprised that they played this course instead of some of the other courses around town. But nevertheless, they're here. Par 70, 89. It can stretch out to 7,200, but this usually par 72, but they've cut it to a par 70 because I think this is going to be a pretty easy course by Pro Tour standards. Bermuda fairways, bent grass greens. Did get some rain here, like we mentioned, that they have down in Scottsdale area, so could play a little bit softer. I only have played a couple so far. You can't really go that deep in a 54-player field, but hit Neiman last week, so hopefully do the same at the same price with Brooks Koepka, who 14-1, he led the field in Mayakoba for fairways hit, fifth for distance. Just was a couple behind, never really could quite get there and put any pressure on the leaders, but he was in the mix. Louis Oosthuizen, who really putted very well, was T8 last week, 20-1. I played him, so not really going that deep. John Rahm, one thing I will say for John Rahm, I mean, he did all the rigmarole and the celebration when his team won the title on debut. I believe they're called Legion 8. But he's still a competitor, and he was not happy that he got to a share of the lead and then made a couple untimely bad shots late and lost that event in Mayakoba. He's going to be the favorite every single week in these live events. And he's 4-1 this week.
This is why are they playing this course? Have we talked about this? Is this just a PGA Tour we're scared right now what their reaction would be if we took a live event? If you're one of the other courses,
they played. It was part of the Las Vegas Invitational, which is now the Shriners Open, many years ago. That would be over like 5 days, and they play like three different courses out here before they finally moved to TPC Summerlin, which obviously they can't play there because those TPC courses owned by the PGA Tour, so you can't really play there. But yeah, I would have thought maybe that they would have went somewhere else. somewhere else. Maybe they could have played at Summit Club or someplace which did host a PGA Tour event, CJ Cup, a couple years ago. Maybe they couldn't play there. But yeah, the Las Vegas Country Club, because I have a couple friends, including one of my co-hosts on VSiN, lives in that community at the Las Vegas Country Club. He's like, I don't know why they're playing this course. He's like, they're going to tear this place up. It's like, this is going to be so easy for these guys. He was like, one of our buddies drove the green. They have this real short par four early on the back nine. He's like, just one of our random friends drove the green here. What are these guys going to do?
Yeah, I mean, my guess is most of the courses just didn't want to touch Liv right now.
Yeah.
Like,
and this was the nearest one where they can, like, oh, we're right by the strip and right by the Super Bowl, it's just off Joe Brown, just a little bit east of where the Westgate is.
Yeah. It's wild. I don't know if I'm going to make it out there or not. Kelly, you going to go take some in or what?
No. I'm enjoying you trying. You look like you're hesitating to comment on this situation, but okay.
Yeah. I'm shocked that this course is hosting.
I think there's I'll just go with the reason they're playing there is because there were not very many takers to the offer of them wanting to come here and play.
Right.
It might be a score for Las Vegas Country Club. I mean, obviously it's a score for them, but like when Liv and PGA Tour strike a deal, like in a week and a half from now, like there might be a lot of courses around here that are a little angry about it. it's also quite a choice to play a tournament of any kind. I don't care if it's golf or tennis or freaking croquet. I don't, whatever, that like you're doing it on Super Bowl week in Vegas like that.
Yeah. I understand why they did that. Why they did, because it's like, okay, we can get our brand and our product in front of the entire sports media that's in town and, gravy train off the Super Bowl. Look, WWE is doing a big WrestleMania event on Thursday at the T-Mobile. And that show, by the way, is in Philadelphia in April. So yeah, they're trying to get media here and get attention. So everything is coming to Vegas, even if they're not remotely associated with football or the Super Bowl or anything.
Okay. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. If the skies open up and it's beautiful and it's sunny and there's clouds and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll make it over there. I don't have any plans as of right now.
I think my betting interest in this will be, Matt, I believe you and I have a dinner on Thursday night on the strip. It might just be wondering if we see any golfers around there that night.
So guys, just real quick while we're on it, let's go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole, shall we? Okay. These guys already have money. Like they're playing for prize money, but look, the money's in their bank account.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Super Bowl week in Las Vegas.
Yes.
There are parties.
Should we be trying to just find like the biggest turd, like in the field, like the guy that we know is like not going to go out, like the guy that does not drink or something, or like, should that be our handicap for this thing?
Yeah. It's like the carryover from the early PGA Tour results. Like, yeah. Who's the sober guy in this event?
Yeah.
Don't go bet on DJ, right? Like he's going to be out partying.
No.
He's probably
DJ
signed
might
up.
Might not show up. Like, right. He might like not even show up to the damn thing.
Like, he's probably like, signed up for 18 media events around town he doesn't even know about. Like, thanks to Paulina.
Now I'm not feeling that good about Brooks, to be honest with you. But even though I think he fits, from a profile standpoint. But yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like looking down the board. I was like, okay. Who might really like take this seriously?
Right.
That hasn't won in a while. That it's like, no, I'm not going to be partying. I want to win. And win the lion's share of the purse and, get back on the winning track. You got a few locals in this thing. Obviously Kevin Na.
I was going to say, isn't Kevin Na in the field? Locals. Kevin Na's the bet.
He's 100 to 1.
Kevin Na's the bet. There it is. Kevin Na could just go home and sleep at home. He isn't drinking. He isn't partying.
Yeah. Like, he's staying well away from the strip. Yeah. Like he knows what it's like in town. Yeah.
There it is. Bam. We figured out the bet. It's Kevin Na. All right. I might make my first live bet ever. I might have to Kevin Na this thing.
You said 100-1, Wes? Yeah.
I just have the odds checker screen. So yeah. That only gives me, I believe, Bet Rivers and FanDuel. Are the only two that I see right now. I know Superbook here in town put it up, and they were even saying, Jeff Sherman was even saying, hey, I think we're probably going to do more handle on Liv because like they're right in the backyard. So that wouldn't necessarily surprise me if they did.
I'm scrolling down right now. I think he's the dude. I think he's the guy.
We figured it out. We cracked the code, guys. Yeah. I'm glad that we talked this through. We cracked the code.
Real quick drive back out to Southern Highlands, depending on what the 15 traffic is going
to
be.
Yeah, he's good to go. Yeah,
when did I miss the Hudson Swafford defection? I missed that.
He's actually, I think there's a couple guys that are in this field that aren't officially like on the team.
I was going to say, like, I think he's an alternate or something, right?
Yeah.
Is he like an alternate?
Yeah, like wild card entry or something. They have all this weird terminology because I'm watching this whole broadcast on Sunday, like trying to figure this out. Like, okay, how does this work?
Doesn't Danny Lee live here? Or am I just making that up?
You know what? He still might actually. There's at least a couple guys in this field that do.
I think either you got to find the guy who's sober or guys who live in Vegas. That's the bet.
Yeah,
that's got to be
Kevin Na. We cracked the code. It's Kevin Na. Kevin Na. Done. Bam. There it is. He ain't partying on the strip. Nobody's inviting him to Media Row. Nobody knows who he is. Like he ain't getting invited to any parties. Like he's just going home every night. He's like getting a text like, hey bro, are you at this party? He's like, no, man, I ain't invited. Like, no. Like, no. You know, like everyone's like, hey, am I gonna see you at the whatever? And he's like, no, man, I'm going home. Sorry. I'm
going home. It's like, game night with the family.
Yes. Like, sorry.
It's Monopoly Monday.
Can't do it. All right, let's get into this. Let's see what made our betting cards real quick, guys. I mean, I'm sure this is the same thing for you. I mean, it's like the model just says Scottie Scheffler with a bullet. And like, I'm going to feel stupid when he just goes out there and wins this thing by four that I didn't figure out a way to get on him. But like, I'm looking at these. There's not even these head-to-heads. Like, none of the head-to-heads look great. Like, he's already juiced to hell in all the head-to-heads. Like, all this. Like, I don't know. I mean, I got to figure out how to get exposure, I guess, in some way, shape, or form. But he was, like, not just number one in every version of the model. Number one by, like, a massive amount in every single version of the model. Like, it wasn't even close. So, I didn't bet him, but I will live with the regret, I guess, if he goes out there and wins the damn thing. Wes, how does your card look?
Yeah, and you were mentioning Scheffler. He's like $2 over Justin Thomas. Yeah. Who, oh, by the way, I understand if you were betting him at like 16-1 or 18-1 on the openers, he got slashed, obviously, to 10-1 with Victor and Xander Schauffele. And I think JT is rebounding. Like he looks good. He looked like he put 2023 behind him. Can't do it at 10-1, though. Yeah.
I can't do that either. I feel grateful I got a Masters bet in on him a few weeks ago. He looks like he's turning that corner. We all love JT on this pod, I know.
I had him last week. You know,
you had him last week.
Who knows what would have happened. Yeah, but it's just, I can't do 10-1.
Yeah. But he's playing better, though. Yeah. That last year was a horror show for him, and he's playing a lot better.
Yeah, he is. I feel like this is the week. It almost feels like that, you know, the week in the NFL or something like that, where we start to see odds start to swing of, okay, we've gotten a couple tournaments under our belt. Like, we got a couple games. We've got some data to go off of. And I think there's some odds that are a little wild in this tournament. I've just, like, a couple guys a little short. Like, I think that JT price is too short right now. And, like, there's a couple guys, like, and I'll talk about when I get to my card, Wes. I don't mean to cut you off, but, like, I just feel like there's a couple guys there that because of some of those jumps that have drifted a little bit, and might be a little bit of an overreaction.
Yeah, for me, I started a little bit mid-range here. You could certainly make a case for all those guys, Homa, and, you know, the guys that are in the teens or low 20s. I started at 28-1. I missed the best number, but Benny Hahn, who's just 4 weeks removed. He missed that short putt in the playoff at the Sony. Even though I had Bradley, I felt he could have won. Benny Hahn could have won. It was Grayson Murray that ends up winning. So he's pretty good in the desert, though, Benny Hahn. He had four straight top 15s at the Dubai Desert Classic. was the 54 hole leader actually right here at Scottsdale in 2017, before he finished sixth, six in strokes gained off the tee last 36 rounds. Benyon can, you know, he can bomb it a little bit, even though he's not totally known as a bomber, but Benyon 28-1. And then, you could find him, I think, in the mid 30s. I think my exact number was 38-1. I took a shot with Sahith Theegala again, who we first, I think most golf fans first heard of Sahith Theegala actually right at this event 2 years ago, where I mentioned hit that ball off the rocks, went in the water at 17. Scottie Scheffler ends up beating Cantlay in the playoff. Sahith finishes third. He was the runner up at the Century to start the year to Chris Kirk. And he's also now a guy that's won an event. He won the Fortinet last fall, so he knows what it's like to win. And I think, you know, there's a little bit of less pressure when you have won actually out here. So I think he could play well. And then I'm going with the guy that's a locally based guy that tends to actually show well here, Adam Hadwin at 50-1, based in Scottsdale. He was 10th here last year, 6th 3 weeks ago at the American Express where I had him. 36-hole leader here last year. You know, just kind of fell off, didn't really make anything on Sunday. And when you're shooting like one or two over on a Sunday, you're getting passed by a whole bunch of guys. And that's what happened to Hadwin. He was runner up here, actually, at the Shriners in Summerlin last fall to Tom Kim. So he's very comfortable with desert golf. Hideki Matsuyama, 50-1, not the prettiest of form. He was 71st last week out of 80 players at Pebble Beach, but he was 14th for off the tee. And that's the best he's looked at driving the golf ball in a long time. Two-time winner here, 2016 and 2017, runner-up in 2015. I think these greens are a lot easier. Maybe those Poa greens the last couple weeks aren't exactly, you know, his bag, shall we say. But, you know, if you like Team No-Putt, that is your guy, Hideki Matsuyama, 50-1. Couple longer shots here. Kurt Kitayama at 90-1 was the guy that I ended up being on this week. And this is a guy that, his putter hadn't really been firing for a while now, but T39 last week at Pebble Beach, but he led the field in strokes gained tee to green. So that tells you, okay, on the greens, he was bad out there at Pebble, and he was fifth for off the tee. So Kurt Kitayama, 90-1. And then Erik van Rooyen, EVR at 100-1. Saw his fellow South African, Dylan Fratelli, win in Bahrain last week. Desert form pretty good on both tours. Top 25 at the Amex earlier this year. Top 25 at the Shriners at the fall in his last two desert starts. Was sixth at the American Express in 2020. Pretty good, too. Always very good in Dubai when he plays over there. He's fourth in 2022 at the Dubai Desert Classic. Four top fives and five starts in his visits to the UAE, the Emirates, and also was a runner-up the last time he played in Qatar, which, of course, the Qatar Masters happening this week. So Erik van Rooyen at 100-1. I left a spot to see maybe if I can add somebody in play, or maybe I'll have one more, but that's going to be about it on the outrights for me.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those weeks, Kelly, you and I were talking about it, just with the tournament losing its designated status, with the backouts, with all, you know, the Super Bowl being here in town for us and all of that. It's like, I don't know. I want to be super, super excited about this tournament. And yet I find myself like, oh, okay, well, it'll happen. It'll be fun and I'll watch it, but I'm not jumping up and down.
Yeah. Yeah. Same sort of way for me. And I left a couple bullets by the side too, Wes, looking to get in live. This was, I mean, like you said off the top, Matt, I mean, Scheffler is, like, I don't even think the odds are bad. Like, I don't even think they're bad. Yeah. Like, but, like, I can't bet that in a 132-person field. Like, I can't bet that. So, I'm kind of dipping my toes in the water on this one. EVR, I did play as top South African. I'm gonna start with a wackier prop for you, because that is one carryover. Wes, I did play him as well, at least in that market. Didn't go outright on him, but did play him top South African. Was a little surprised at how high he popped in some of the numbers that I ran. Outright card for me, only three on there right now. I got Max Homa 19-1. I did play him. Just feels that number feels a little long in this field. Just considering some of the guys that have dropped out and everything. Yes, he was terrible last week. Pebble, though, was crazy. I mean, obviously, all the craziness that was going on there, 13th of the Farmers, 14th of the Century. He's still been playing some decent golf and has good tournament history here at this course. So that was that's where I started my card, played him in the outrights, and then played a top 20 on him as well. Sungjae Im is who I went to next. Same sort of story here with Sungjae. Just thought drifting out to 30 and with this field was a little bit long on him. So did play him in the outrights, played a top 20 on him. He was, he's had a couple bad tourneys in a row. There's no excuse there, but 25th at the Amex, 5th at the Century. So hopefully this is not becoming his recent form, what we've seen the past couple weeks. Another guy with great tournament history here, too. Top 10 finishes last 5 years, a few top 20s mixed in there as well. And then I took my one bomb is Akshay Bhatia. I played him a couple times, I think.
I thought about playing him too.
Yeah, I don't know where he ended up with your guys' stuff. I was shocked at how high he ended up in some of the models that I ran. So it was kind of unavoidable to look at an 80-1 and pass on it. So played him there and then played a top 10 on him at a little over 5-1, which that's what I like to do on. So, you know, I'll play those smaller, the top 20s. If you ever see me play a top 20, it's usually something I'm sinking my teeth into pretty heavy, but some of these longer bombs, it's kind of the each way, you know, the makeshift each way bet, right? Where you play a top 5, top 10 on a longer bomb. If you're not really confident he's going to go out and win the thing. And I'm just going to keep there's only one thing that's been working well for me so far this golf season. It's bet JT Post in top 20s. That's working great. So I'm going right back to it. He's another guy that's played this tournament well. So not an outright bet for me, but did play him in the top 20 market. Missed cut here last year, but other than that, he's found success here consistently at this tournament. So that's my whole card. I got three outrights right now: Homa, Sungjae, Bhatia. Top 10 on Bhatia, top 20s on Homa, Sungjae, Poston, and EVR is your top South African at plus 150.
A good time to remind everybody that we do not talk about our picks before we come in here. And so I have Benny on my outright card. I have Akshay Bhatia on my outright card. So I share one with each one of you guys. So both of the guys just incredibly high up in my model comparatively to their odds and certainly with the way the strength of this field is. So both those guys in there, the only other two outrights I have in the account right now that you guys don't have, I have Kevin Yu in my account from an outright perspective. I run 60, 36, 24, and 12 as far as models go. Kevin Yu is far out as the 60 model, is 18th overall. He is sitting at 17th overall in the 36 round. He's sitting 10th overall in the 24 round. And then if you go super, super recent in the 12 round, he's still sitting 10th overall. And so again, the stuff that I factored in to this week, look, he's really good off the tee. Obviously I told you that I factored in that a lot. He's a birdie maker. He's good at par fives, all that. So it didn't shock me that he's as high up in the model as he is, but yeah. So for me, Kevin Yu is in there and not quite triple digits on him, about 90-1. And then Austin Eckroat is the other guy that played outright here. You can get him at triple digits. He is Eckroat, another dude that was way up in the models comparatively to where his odds are. Now, listen, this is recent form, and recent form can be fleeting and all of that, but he's seventh overall in the 12 round model. Like he's triple digits to one in seventh overall. In the 24 round model, he is actually fifth overall in all of this. And so again, at triple digits, not going to pass that up for a guy that's coming inside the top 10 in the model. Kelly, I had written down two different guys that I was trying to figure out how to get exposure to. So you just told me how to get exposure to Erik van Rooyen, because I have him written down as whatever. And so I know Wes is on the outright. I like the top South African play, maybe a sprinkle on him on the outright market as well. The other guy I have written down, and I guess since I'll play EVR that way, I'll go ahead and get the outright in. I don't know what the number is off the top of my head. Adam Svensson is the other guy that I had written down as my fifth outright play this week. Another guy that was inside the top 15 in every single version of the model, be it short term or be it long term. So long term form pretty good for all the stuff I'm looking for. Short term form pretty good for all the stuff that I'm looking for as well. And then I just got to go in and got to go in and figure out how to get Ricky Fowler on the card. I don't know if that's head to heads. I don't know if that's three balls. I don't know, whatever. Ricky was cruising last week. Ricky's sitting eight under, bogey free through 27 holes, and gets up there and misses a 3-footer that he runs 5 feet past, then misses the 5-footer like on the way back, and then ends up doubling the hole, and then everything went to shit after that. It was just like he was cruising. He like everything was great. And then it's just you miss a 3-footer, and then it just everything just goes off the rails. And it's
former winner here too, as well. And I had a runner up. I think he was 10th here last year. So he's got to always plays well here. And like we said, pretty predictive in terms of form.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, him and Decky were the two. I mean, you guys are mentioned them. I think Decky a little bit even more for me than Ricky, but both of those guys were. Man, I just kind of in the same vein of kind of the bets, a couple of the bets I made, just their odds feel long for what they've done at this tournament in the past. You know, what we saw Ricky have that little, you know, the comeback season last year. So you kind of know he's back. And then Wes, like, you know, like I've bet Decky already like once or twice this year. And I think like top 20 markets and stuff. And man, like I feel like I've watched him a lot. There's a lot to like, but God, his putting numbers are just so gross. That was the only thing that just kept holding me back on him. But I might still end up with a, like, you could find a 60-1. I think you can find 50, 60-1s out there on these guys right now. And, like, those are long numbers on guys that have won here before.
Daniel Berger was another guy I thought about, but this is only his third event back. But he's got some good finishes here. So, you know, maybe it's going to take a little while longer. I think I saw him in, like, the 120, 125 range. So maybe I need to see a good finish. I think he's got a 39th, and then he missed the cut 2 weeks ago at Torrey. So I might need to see a little bit more, but I wouldn't be shocked if like Daniel Berger ended up in like the top 10 or top 20 here.
The guy that if he wins, I'm going to hate myself is Adam Scott, because
had him last week, but he apparently had an illness that I didn't know about that. You know, they said
that makes me
like,
feel
bad. He had an illness. And I was like, yeah, I wish I would have known that before I played him.
Yeah.
Because
he's the guy that popped all over the place. And I just didn't really take it into consideration to play him. So that will be my regret this week if Adam Scott wins.
Yeah. I also didn't know that he lives in Switzerland.
Adam Scott does? I did not know that either.
I didn't know that.
I was going to ask you about is Svensson another one of the Canadians that lives right there, Wes?
He lives in Florida. Hadwin lives in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of players that live here in Scottsdale. So, you know, home game for a decent amount of these guys. So that's why you still have a pretty solid field.
I'm with you though, but Matt, Adam Scott, just like last week. I mean, we both bet him last week, Wes, but he was spiking again for me this week. And it took kind of everything in me to stay away from him as well.
He'll be on the card at Riviera next week for me, for sure.
The little story time before we get out of here, guys, it was either Golf or Golf Digest. One of the two had a story in there about just Scottsdale in general and how it became this giant golf hub and all of these guys that are down there that are, you know, want to be golfers. And they're basically just caddying right now. And they talk about all these, you know, these money games that, that they run. And so like, they'll get together on a Monday at club X, Y, or Z. Everyone buys in for 100, 200, 300, whatever it is, or something like that. And, you know, you just play a little money game and they're like, yeah. And then you look over and it's like, oh, there's Joel Damon who showed up today. And then it's like, you look over and they're like, oh, Max Homa showed up today and like whatever. And like, so they're literally talking about like, there's these caddies who are out there trying to just scrape together, you know, making $1,000 by winning a little, you know, mini tournament amongst their buddies. And it's like, oh, cool. There's pro that just won 3 weeks ago that decided to come out and play this week and all that. So it's pretty cool. The community down there and how that all goes down. And, you know, it's pretty cool. Like the quality of the courses, the quality of the golf, and then just the, you know, you never know your caddy when you go down there to play one of the fancy courses might also be a dude that if he picked up the sticks could go shoot like 71 himself, you know?
You mean like Eric Cole, like a year and a half ago? Like, the fact that I think back to that, what tournament was it? The Honda, right afterward, when it was like, like telling the stories over and over again about like he used to be Sam Saunders caddy, and I'm like yeah. This guy is so much better than Sam Saunders ever. Yeah. Was. Holy hell.
Still
apologies to his grandfather, yes. But yes, this is so he is so much better.
Yeah, it's cool. So I recommend picking up that issue if you haven't seen it. Guys, obviously everything we do on this pod absolutely free. So we do appreciate the support. Hit that subscribe button. If you want to give us a rating and a review, do appreciate that as well. Over at the new and improved VSiN.com, you can find Wes write up on not just this tournament but everything else going on in the world of golf. I highly suggest you go in and take that all down as well. And Kelly will plug in our official plays to the /picks page over at VSiN.com in case you didn't write everything down whenever we were going through the podcast here. But hope you do well on your Super Bowl bets. And as always, for Kelly, for Wes, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your waste management bets.